Hey, loves, really nice to see you. This is the January supervision and support call. Excuse me. Delighted to be here with a small intimate group. A few people said you couldn't make it today and you were excited to hear the recording. So here we are. A couple of bits of admin. The first thing to let you know is we have been working behind the scenes on a few things this month. And what you see here is the self-belief school playbook. I know, Sophie, you've seen this in person because you took my website photos. We are making a similar thing for SBCA, but it's A4 size and it's all the workbooks. The quality of this book is so great. Kay and I have been sort of, well, she's done all the formatting for it, but it's really beautifully bound and it feels really nice and solid. The paper's nice and thick, it's color, all of that jazz. Anywho, we're just getting that sorted. It'll be available to purchase directly from the printer, so they'll post it to your house. And at the moment, the price point is around about £25. So not horrific, which is great. This one is like A5 and it's like £11 for the self-belief school kids. So I'm so delighted because I think it's great if you're wanting to have all your workbooks in a place. If you are like me and you like to write in the margins of everything, then having that printed out will be great. And it means that for new students, we'll be sending them the workbooks as they enroll. So that's kind of fun. It feels a bit pro, which is lush. So that will be available to purchase in the next week or so. We're just finalizing the uploading and the printers need to format it and all that jazz. But it is
Can I
in the
just
last
ask,
stages. Yeah.
is that something we would send our clients to? Like, no,
No,
okay. Not the SBCA one, but the, okay, no, all right.
it's just for you. Yeah, just for you. So it is the workbooks that are included in SBCA, all in one workbook. Yeah, so not for clients at all. Please don't send it out. It is proprietary. That would be great if you didn't like just photocopy it wildly, because that's all my intellectual property. Great question, Steph, just in case anyone watching is like, oh, cool, I can send that along. No, please don't do that. Cool. So, second thing to let you know is I had a few people get in touch with me after we did the reflection retreat in December to say they wanted to get excited, like get involved with Bravehearts. Bravehearts is part of Self-Belief School. So it's my coaching for muggles program. And we added in this additional offer for business owners, where what we're doing is coaching, self-belief coaching and co-working for business owners. A couple of grads got in touch to say, I want to take things to the next level in 2024. The astrology is behind you. So I totally know that feeling. And what we're going to do is give you a 20% discount on Self-Belief School. So that applies to all the payment plans. So whatever feels good to you. And I think it makes it like less than £100 a month, basically. So it's kind of a doable thing if you want to get on board with that. And what we do is basically take the courage-based plans approach, set an intention for the month, and then you get coaching around that. We have support, there's a separate discussion forum, all of that sort of stuff. It's a really cool process. I personally, in the last time just before Christmas, finished my supervision diploma written work and got my diploma. And for me, that was like I had put off doing that work for so long because it's just a bit tedious. And I was a bit past it. And I had to go back and sort of show my working, basically. But I used our co-working sessions to do that. And I went into it complaining every time. I hate that I'm having to do this. It's not my favorite. But it was kind of fun because the clients in Self-Belief School are from such a variety of different businesses and doing different things. And there are SBCA folks in there as well. But I find that whole group is just really lush. It's a really nice community. So Lots of creatives, lots of, you know, potters and artists and people doing creative businesses and that have self-doubt come up. Lots of coaches, as you can imagine. So really my people. But it's if you are interested in having that additional support, then we'll send that discount code out to you with the replay. And the third and final thing is to let you know that next month, February's call, will be on the third rather than the final Thursday of the month. That's in the calendar. Because it's 33 sleeps until I fly out to New Zealand. And when we have February, that will be the last time that these calls are at this time. So from March onwards, we'll have a call at 9 a.m. UK time and 5 p.m. Pacific time. We'll put it in the calendar so you can, you know, the time zones are nice and clear for you. But just to let you know, it'll be an hour earlier in the morning call and a slightly different time for the evening call for you in the States who come along. But that was how I could make it work. Because that 9 a.m. call was going to be 10 p.m. for me. But I figured it's so much, I mean, obviously want to completely maintain and preserve the relationship with all the UK and Europe-based coaches. But I figured it was easier for me to be one person to be slightly inconvenienced and I can take care of myself rather than have it be wildly different for all of you. So so hopefully that works for everybody. I think that some of the calls that I do elsewhere will move to a 9 a.m. start as well. So yeah. So that is admin. Any questions at all on any of that? That all sounds good, clear, great. If you're watching the replay and you've got questions, just drop me an email. No problems at all. So Steph, lovely Steph, you emailed me to say you had a thing. Tell us about it.
You know, I'm always going to have a thing. So first of all, congratulations on all of that, your supervision and I'm just really happy for you. Having known you now for a bunch of years, I'm just so glad. Okay. So my thing, I am kind of glad there's only two of you here and that hopefully no one watches the recording. I don't know. I've been nervous about bringing this up. So I'm hopefully launching a community, an ADHD friendly community for business owners. This is a very new niche that I'm declaring, but it's one I've had clients in for years and years and years and years. So it feels at one hand, like totally natural. And on the other hand, completely scary. And I am taking action. I'm like telling people in my newsletter about it. I'm having conversations with people. I'm booking people on interviews to try and get some market research done. And still scared out of my mind. And so I like really, it's been interesting observing the like action taking me and being like, oh, that like, holy shit, I just sent that email. That was so easy to send. And now I'm like, having the sweats about it. We're like, what did I just sent that email? Like, oh my goodness. And upon reflecting, knowing I was going to bring this up on this call, it's like the thoughts of like, who am I really to do this? I don't have ADHD. I'm getting it affirmed all over the place that it's a good thing, like, but it hasn't stopped my internal dialogue. And I think the main thoughts is kind of like, what are people going to think? Like, it just feels, and like, I don't want to screw it up. Like, I just feel a totally internal pressure. Like, I've had happy clients all these years. I haven't screwed it up, but somehow putting it in this community format is like freaky. Feels somehow more public and it is more public. And, I'm just trying to reconcile the like part of me that's just easily taking action and this other part of me that's like, it's like, I feel like these internal thoughts are going to just stop me at some point. They haven't yet. And I don't know if any of that is, I'm sure it's making sense to you, Sass, but yes. Help me make sense of it, please.
Oh, I love that so much. What do you make of the freaking out part of you? What's that about?
Well, I think partly it's to be expected. I'm not, the phrase I hear all the time from you guys is like, it's completely normal. It makes perfect sense, right? Of course it makes perfect sense. And like, I don't believe I have to have like 100% confidence like to take action and to do the things, but still feels like very new territory. Even the freaking out part, like I guess what I really don't want is to be second guessing myself in this community. I th think now that I'm saying, like, sometimes I'll say something on a call and then like overthink it all night and all the next day. And I just don't want that to be my 24/7 experience with this community.
What's the kind of like, do you have a clear handle on what the part of you that is in fear? What is that part of you saying to you? What's the like the protective belief that's there?
Well, without it being phrased all, however, like I think it's that I keep like the voice in my head keeps saying like, what will people think?
Right.
It's and I'm not even sure the how to end that sentence, but it's like,
And if, well, I wonder if you can, what do you fear they will think?
So I've been over the past few years like really trying to do my best to be inclusive and use the right language around things and I don't know, that gives you sense to be like respectful, to be non-offensive when possible. And I think part of me, I think part of it is that, like, I've definitely, I'm thinking back to a community I joined. It was in like an ethical marketing community. And in one of the posts I had said, like, my husband, and I always call him my partner. I never call him my husband, but for the context of the post, I said my husband. And then it was like, I like someone commented something that probably wasn't even that bad, but I was like felt shamed about like, oh, I used the wrong word.
But he is your husband, right?
He is my husband, but like in the community, it was very like, it was just one person felt like they needed to say something about that, And again, yes. So I left the community, haven't rejoined it, like fine. But that's the kind of what I don't want. I don't want to put that, I don't want to make anyone else feel that way. So it's that
So
and like,
there's a desire to not offend anyone.
not anyone. I don't mind offending some
The
people,
world, yeah,
but
in
the
this group.
people who are trusting me and are in this community, I want it to feel like a safe, welcoming, inclusive place without putting like extra labels on or extra like,
Well,
that.
so I guess the thing that comes up for me is there a way you can hold both of those things? I'm going to create a safe and welcoming community, and I'm going to try my best not to offend people. And if I do, because I use a word that makes sense to me but offends someone else, I'll know, I'll be able to manage that. Like, is there a way where both things can be true? There's a risk I might offend people, and it can be safe and welcoming.
Well, that's my plan. My plan is for both of those things to be true. My hope is for both those things to be true. I'm sure that's only one of the reasons I'm freaking out about this.
Yeah,
But
sure.
it's,
Because what we're doing is we're just trying to sort of pull out what is that part of you that's freaking out? What is it actually freaking out about?
No, it's
Right.
fair. So
So again, yeah, and just sorry to interrupt you, but
go ahead.
One of the things you said was when it happened in that other community that you joined, you kind of went, oh, I'm out.
Mm-hmm.
And you won't be able to do that when it's your community.
That's true. Yeah.
Right. Well, if you can, of course, I mean, that is a choice, but it probably won't feel possible or even full of integrity for you.
Mm-hmm,
right.
Mm-hmm.
So, and the thing is, right, we're in a relational line of work and we're bound to offend everybody at some point. And that's okay.
Yeah, maybe, and just like maybe that just becomes part of the group policy. Policy sounds like too strong a word, but just like code of conduct, like again, too, not the right word.
Understand.
But,
yeah.
Just some
guidelines.
That agreement.
For yourself. Yeah.
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 Mm-hmm.
Yeah, exactly. Agreements. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And the thing is, like, I think most of us that care about creating some trust and safety will at some point freak out a little bit about what if someone gets pissed off or offended? What if it's me that does that? Or what if it's someone else in the group and then I have to step in and I don't know what the hell to say, right?
Mm-hmm.
I think that is just inevitable.
Yeah, and that'll just be something I have to practice and learn. And I do have a supervisor as well. So it's like have people I can lean on. I haven't led a community in this way before, but...
What I notice is you're going to like, what's the worst part about running this community, right? You know, so, and you are taking action. So it says to me that those two things say to me that your self-doubt is like grasping for things to protect you from.
Okay. Like meaning it's not that strong? Or...
It's not that strong.
Okay,
it's
because
reaching.
I'm taking action.
Right,
yeah.
you're still taking action. And in self-doubt, it's like whack-a-mole, right? Or Scott calls it self-doubt pinball, you know, where you're constantly flicking things. So you do one thing and then, you know, it flicks the ball and then it hits something else, right?
Uh-huh.
So that always suggests to me that your self-doubt's panicking a little bit. Like, oh, I've got to find something.
Yeah. It's true.
You know?
I'm panicking.
Yeah. Well, it's giving you that feeling, right? There's things you need to worry about. It can't be this easy.
Okay. Yeah, that it can't be that easy or this easy.
And these are like pretend future problems. They don't exist right now. Right? That's also a good sign that your self-doubt's panicking. Right? No one is actually in your group and offended right now. Yeah?
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Oh, that's a good perspective.
Right? Like, it's like, dude, calm down. It's okay. You know, me talking to my self-doubt. Like,
yeah.
Yeah. And
well,
go ahead.
Yeah. Well, I was just going to say, it feels different creating a community versus like a one-on-one client, like super different, because the community feels to me more permanent. Not that it'll exist forever, but like, it's not something I'm doing for a 3-month trial.
Yeah.
It's like,
yeah.
I'm trying to build this thing. I'm trying to get it as right as I can from the beginning, knowing of course that I'm going to learn as I go. What I'm totally avoiding is putting together the structure of the community at all. but I also feel like that's just partly a lack of information.
Yeah.
Partly I'm a little bit scared to do it and do it wrong. I've done 2 or 3 interviews and have had tons and tons of clients in the past. So it's, well, not tons and tons, but a few that have given me some insight. So, well, this doesn't make me feel less panicking though, Sass.
Yeah. Well, so
acknowledging it's there is helpful.
And I guess the other thing that I picked up on, and particularly in your email, was this, you used the word fraudulent in your email.
Did I? Okay.
And I'm curious about that. What does that mean to you, like in this moment?
Well, that like imposter syndrome thing, like I have just been constantly consuming everything I can't about ADHD over the past year, probably. And there's almost no one. I can't think of an example. I'm sure they exist, of someone who doesn't have ADHD, who's running a community, who's written a book, who's coaching, who's like whatever. And so it's, I'm getting feedback from people, like I said, that it's a good thing. I'm getting feedback from people with ADHD saying, you need to do this. Your work is really helping me. They haven't said like a community, but they're saying you need to claim this space. Like you need to declare that this is because so many people need your help. And so I'm getting that feedback from lots of people. But it just is feeling weird seeing that.
Well, tell me, tell us, why are you doing this?
I mean, lots of reasons. There's selfish reasons and there's client-led reasons. I mean, I have wanted to build some sort of like leverage group, larger scale thing beyond one-on-one coaching. And I've been like trying things on for years, trying to figure out what would work. And then this idea, noticing the patterns in my clients, like, again, my niche is picking me in this way.
Yeah.
It just makes perfect sense. I think it's something people would want a community around. Mm-hmm. And it's something that's not out of left field for me. It's something I've been working on. So it feels aligned in that way. And it's just really nice to have a clear niche, truthfully. Like, you know, over 11 years, I've never had anything really, really refined. So that in and of itself is kind of new.
Yeah.
And then what I see happening with my clients is that they keep trying to do stuff the way other people tell them to do it. And then I'm like helping them undo the mess and the programming and the shame and like all that stuff of like, they think they should be able to do it that way because that's the way they've been taught by everyone else. And I just would like for them to feel empowered and like they can do business their own way. So I'm not going to give them I've never wanted to have like a prescriptive program. And so again, this fits that bill too, of like, I can help hold the space for them to be even more of the expert and like facilitate that, that space and learning and camaraderie.
Yeah.
I don't know. I think they're reasonably good reasons.
They are good reasons. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And I guess, you know, when you listen back to the recording, if you choose to do that, you've got your why sewn up there.
Mm-hmm.
You know? And I guess, you know, why is it perfect that you don't have ADHD?
Oh, I mean, I know why. There's lots of good reasons why. That I've been told and that I see, like I'm really good at systems. I'm really good at organization and time management. But in such a way that, thank you, Sophie. Yeah. But because I'm a coach, it's like not about me telling them this is how you should manage your time. It's about me understanding from them, like, what works for you? What systems, like, how can we build a system that's like your system, not my system? And a word I've used for years and years to describe myself and my work is that solid oak tree. And I think, I know that that's the energy that people with ADHD really need. They need someone to lean up against and to like hold those guardrails. And then I interviewed someone yesterday and she's like, oh, like it's so good you don't, because I wouldn't want to be in a discussion led by someone with ADHD. Like we're all just going to go off on tangents, and like we need someone to bring it back and hold everything really tight and firm. So, I mean, those are just a few examples. Right. I am pretty clear on some good things about it.
Yeah. And, you know, it also strikes me that the level of entanglement will be minimized.
Well, that's true. Yes, and I worry about, like, my blind spots as well, right? Mm-hmm. Like, making assumptions. And so you just have to be careful of those. Yeah. Not the same as entanglement, but, like, a different kind of blind spot.
Yeah. And I guess, you know, one of the things we talked about in this morning's call is naming the thing in the room, right? Mm-hmm. So saying to your client, I'm going to make an assumption here. Tell me where I'm wrong, right? Mm-hmm. So you actually kind of own your slight abstraction from their reality, right? Tell me where this doesn't work for you. Like this, to me, this sounds like a community that is the best of both worlds. Right. It's kind of, it's got a focus on getting shit done with ADHD, but it's getting it done in your way. There is no prescriptive, you know, you don't have the magic formula. What you do have is the place where that person can find that, their own formula.
Mm-hmm.
And so there's something really lush about that. And I think just owning, as we figure out your formula, you know, it's an experiment.
yeah
and so there's going to be some assumptions and some trial and error that goes on, all of that sort of stuff.
Well, for me and of course for them, right? And so many of them have been recently diagnosed, and so they're figuring that all out as well. Okay,
so what you've done is share a bit more about the part of you that's a bit panicky, right?
Mm-hmm.
And also the part of you that is really owning this. They feel to me like the two parts of you that are sort of, you know, driving at the moment.
Yeah. Well, I'm trying to let the resourced part of me drive as much as possible.
Yeah. And it sounds like that part of you is very much leading this process. And meanwhile, because it's still an unknown, self-doubt's going, hey, but what about this? What about this? You should worry about this. This now, you know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's certainly manifesting itself in like overconsumption of information right now.
Yeah.
And like I said, I've been really... even this conversation, me being able to set, like answer those questions, like, why am I doing this? Why am I good at this? Like, who's the community for? I like look back in the last 5 minutes and be like, holy shit, like that rolled off the tongue more than anything in the last 11 years.
Yeah.
So like, what does that mean? That's gotta mean something. And I've been using tarot quite a lot as like a daily reflection. And I mean, all of that's been very positive. Yeah. And encouraging and fair enough. What's really standing out for me is just like it's freaking out about things that don't even exist, hasn't happened. I don't even have the community yet, and it's freaking out about like, what if this person says that in this community? It's like, okay, future me can figure that out,
right? Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
What I'm also hearing, Steph, is that there isn't really a part of you that's not going to do this. Like this is starting to feel inevitable to me.
It's definitely getting closer to feeling that way. I mean, I'm starting to wonder that even if someone told me, well, someone did tell me that it was a terrible idea, but they were like, they didn't even believe in ADHD. And they just wrote this 12 paragraph message on a discussion forum about how I shouldn't give people labels and all this stuff. And I was like actually able to articulately respond in a short way. I left that group too, but
love it.
but for different reasons. And I was like, huh, so even if someone, like, even when someone is a, what are you, like a hater or a troll or whatever, like a naysayer, I was like, huh, even then I'm still like, so I was kind of wondering like what would have to happen for me not to do this. And maybe that's the biggest takeaway from this conversation. Maybe I was like wondering if in this conversation, if it would just like be like, oh no, this is a terrible idea, you know?
Yeah.
And my partner said that to me right before the call too. He was like, what's the worst that's going to happen on this call? They're going to tell you it's a terrible idea. That's not going to happen. And I'm like, oh, okay, fine.
Yeah. Yeah. So one of the things I sort of play with, and I thought about this quite a lot last year, is what am I still deciding about and what am I committed to?
Oh, good questions.
I did a podcast on this. I think it's one of the last ones from last year that might be helpful. But I just sort of talk people through, like, there's a sort of three, for me anyway, there's like a three-stage process. There's an idea, right? I've had this idea. Not all ideas.
I did listen to that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, make it to that place of, oh, no, I'm deciding to play with this. To me, you feel like you're on that precipice between, you know, keeping deciding that you're making progress with this and getting to the place of commitment.
Yeah.
You may even feel like, actually, no, I am quite committed.
When I listened to that episode right before Christmas, I was in like the depths of despair about my business and like, holy shit, what am I even doing? And I was like, I have been, whatever the third one is, committed for 10 years. Like, holy shit, this is the first time I've ever felt like I'm back in deciding. And so it'd be interesting to listen to it again with this community.
From this perspective.
Lens. Yeah.
Because it does, the way you're describing this, it's like, so I'm doing this thing and then there's all this stuff that's kind of coming up around it.
It's true.
But at no point have you said anything, and I don't know, Sophie, as you're listening, there's nothing in what you're saying that suggests this is up for debate.
Fair. And certainly the conversation I've been having with other people too is like, so I'm launching this community.
Yeah. And the thing to know about that is sometimes I've said things out loud and I thought, am I? Is that what I'm doing? And I wonder sometimes if, you know, our unconscious, our soul maybe speaks through us and goes, yep, got it in this moment, you know? And then you sort of go, ah, yeah, that feels good in my body to say that out loud. This is a thing that's now happening.
Yeah.
And, you know, the thing I also just want to leave you with, Steph, is I think these things come up for really good reasons. Like, you are growing a community that you feel a real, like, deep reverence for, that you want to make, you know, a really, you know, beautiful offering for your clients. As that grows, there'll be more stuff that comes up, different challenges. The challenges for you now as you're building the thing are a universe away from the challenges that you might have a year in, 3 years in, right? If my experience is anything to go by. And so I think all of it's prep work. All of this is preparation work for the leader of this community that you're the facilitator that you'll become and that you are becoming. You know, so that also, that kind of wider perspective helps me to go, oh, okay, cool. I can probably deal with this, because future me is going to go, thank God you sorted that out then, you know?
Yeah, it's true. Uh-huh. Well, and I mean, you've known me long enough to know that I do really try and do things like as well as I can, knowing there's no right way to do it. And so that does put pressure on certainly the beginning of projects. But then it alleviates it once I started. It's like, oh, no, I did it. I did this. I set this up well. Okay. Like, future me is happy about it. But so it's just a similar, the challenges, but also like the work that I put into this now, trying not to rush it, but I'm also trying to like just do the damn thing.
And launched sit on is it. Good enough. It makes it good enough, you know?
Yeah.
It's like, you know, even making some choices about what are the foundations that need to be in place. You know, like if you told me 3 or 4 years ago, you're going to have, you know, a beautiful, polished, you know, 150-page workbook that goes with this program that I hadn't even believed was an actual thing I could do, you know, in just a couple of years, you're going to go from an idea to this, I would have gone, yeah, maybe, can't quite see it myself, right? So there is that kind of, you know, we've got to give ourselves time to sort of stretch into the new role.
Well, and I maybe my brain works a little bit the opposite, because I see the potential end result of this with like 1,000 people in the community. And I'm just like, oh shit, how do I, you know, but starting it with like, okay, what if I had 5? How could I make 5 people really happy?
Well, and this is the thing, you get to control that.
Yeah.
You get to decide, and your self-doubt is freaking out about the 1,000 people that don't exist yet.
Yeah.
Right? Just notice how sophisticated it is.
Yeah.
You know, so it's like, is this a today problem or a tomorrow problem or a 2 years ahead of me problem?
That's a good question.
And sometimes that can just let your self-doubt calm down a little bit. It's like, dude, we don't have to worry about this yet.
Yeah. It's super helpful. Okay. I feel like I just took up so much time, but I
you did.
Very much,
great.
Very much appreciate it. As you can tell, I have some self-doubt about taking up space.
Great.
I mean, and now here I am like trying to friggin' lead a community, and I don't even like to be the center of attention in any way. And it's like, I don't lead a community? Like, what am I thinking? Yeah. But here we go.
Well, the thing is as well, is when you are in that role and that seat, you are so in your client's experience that you even forget that you are doing that, right?
I hope so.
I sometimes look at the clock and I'm like, what the hell? You know, where did that time just go? There's an interesting theory about like Kairos and Chronos, the different time states, dimensions almost, like both Greek words. And Chronos time is sequential, linear time, minute by minute. And Kairos time is kind of that dreamy state where you get into flow. And or if you're meditating and then suddenly half an hour's gone past and you're like, where the hell did that happen? A friend of mine did his PhD on the instances of Kairos time in coaching sessions.
Oh,
and what
neat.
Actually happens in that state. It was really fascinating. Like, he was like, it's very much the unconscious part of us is often leading.
And I might message you for that link to his dissertation later.
Yeah.
That's cool.
So, you know that you're probably going to be in Kairos time when you are leading community. And you are going to be in the light, in the world of the client you're coaching. And you'll figure it out.
Maybe with your help moving forward. It's a good thing we have these calls.
Right. I'm not going anywhere, dude. Yeah. How's that feeling to you though, Steph?
About 3/4 of the way through our conversation, I was still like super amped up. And the last quarter has just really like, is this a today problem? Is this a 2 year from now problem? Is like, I'm not going to even notice that I'm leading a community because I'm going to be so focused on the people and like, build it for the 5 people and it can grow to the 1,000. And these problems haven't happened yet. These are all really, and that idea of commitment, I think, is really interesting too. I always viewed it like, if I only have 5 people for a year, that's cool. If I'm building a body of work, I'm building something greater than that. That feels like commitment to me.
Beautiful. I love it. I can't wait to see it when it's all done and dusted.
Well, hopefully you'll see it when it's not all done and just when it's ready.
When it's ready.
When it's ready.
Oh, and you know, a couple of calls ago, Lisa Mabberley was here and she was saying that she had this urge to put a group together. She wanted to do this, you know, some kind of group. And she messaged me this morning and it's the opening circle of her group tonight. And it's like, oh, how cool that this is. And she's like, I'm so calm. I'm so ready. And I'm just like, I'm so glad this is in the world, you know? And
yeah,
I think that's the thing that we can sometimes lose sight of, is on the other side of our self-doubt losing its shit, right? Is actually us in this place going, oh, I did it. But the yeah. only way to that place is to kind of go through the navigating of the self-doubt. Yeah.
Yeah. And that's why I love you, and this program is so good. Thank you.
Oh, I love it. We've gone from freaking out to some sweet love.
Well, we started with sweet love too, let's be clear. that was separate magic. From the self-doubt. Oh my gosh. Thank you so much. And if Sophie, if you have a question, if I pop off, it's not because I'm not interested. It's just because I have a call at 5 minutes for the hour.
No problem. No problem at all. Lovely to chat, Steph. Hey, Soph, how are you doing?
Hello, I'm good, thank you. Yeah, I have a muddled question as always. That was great to listen to, by the way, Steph. Thanks for sharing your idea. It sounds amazing. And yeah, it sounds absolutely like a done deal. So yeah, my thing is, I have one question. It's kind of two examples with it. It's to do with feeling nervous and awkward and avoidant about literally talking about self-doubt, which sounds so silly to say out loud, with my actual self-doubt coaching clients. Like, they know that I'm a self-belief coach. Like, they've come to me for that. And yeah, I think I'm probably making some assumptions about some of these people that maybe they don't like, that language doesn't resonate with them, or that I'm like diagnosing them with something that they don't think that they have. Like, for example, I have a client who normally I would send the archetypes quiz as like part of our intake, like usually as homework from the first session. And I didn't send it to someone because I was like, well, she's going to be offended by that. Like, she doesn't think that she has self-doubt. But now I'm like, I really need her to do it. Like, I feel like it would be really helpful for her to do it. But I'm like, is it too late? Have I left it too long? Like, is she going to be like, why did you not give me this before? Like, maybe she really would benefit from it. And then there's another client where I had a first session with someone new yesterday. And I said at the end of the call that I was going to send her this homework, and it is completely me making up stories, but I just noticed like a little change in her like body language and like her facial expression when I talked about it. It was really interesting. Like, we'd had a really like great sort of resonant session. Like, she was really engaged and seemed really happy with like everything that we were doing. And then I kind of noticed like a little shift, and I wondered if she was maybe a bit shocked or a bit like, I don't know, there was something there. And I didn't delve into that because we were already at time and I didn't want to like make something of it. But the story I'm telling is like, oh, she doesn't think she has self-doubt, and so she's gonna be offended or think that I'm trying to, yeah, like diagnose her with something. And so I need to wait, obviously, and see if she fills it in and how she finds it before I jump to that conclusion. But with the other person where I haven't sent it and now I'm like, I really would like to send it, I'm just like in a big tangle about what to do and what she's going to make that mean. But yeah, I just wondered, I guess I wanted to ask as well, like, perhaps if there'd been more people here as well, I'd be intrigued to know from like the wider community, but particularly you, Sass, like when you're working with someone who perhaps doesn't like, falls more in the like overachiever, overdoer, giver, prover camp. Whereas I think historically, I think I've attracted people who are more maybe aligned to how I experience self-doubt, where it's like the under-functioners. And I think they really get the word self-doubt, and they are not surprised when I kind of broach these things. Whereas I'm working with more people on that other end of the spectrum now. And I just wonder, like, when you're working with those types of people, like, how do you navigate this? And it sounds so silly to be asking this, like 3 years into my coaching business. Like, it's a big question, but I just feel like I need to think this through to be able to move forward.
So I guess, you know, the first thing I would say is maybe your client just needed a wee.
Yeah, she could have.
Do you know what I mean? Like, I'm like, maybe it was nothing to do with that, right?
Yeah.
And the thing about assumptions is when we feel a little bit awkward about it, it's like our self-doubt's going to go, I'll tell you what's going on here.
Exactly. Just project onto it, which, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So that would be my first thing, is like, what else could be true, right? Yeah. About all of that. And you know, there's some magic in this stuff too, because we had a similar, very aligned conversation in this morning's call about integrating the archetypes.
Mm-hmm.
from a different, for a slightly different angle, but that might prove useful for you just to listen to that replay. So what I would say is every single tool that you've got at your disposal from SBCA, totally optional. You are your greatest tool, your discernment, your intuition, your feeling out a client, your assumptions about a client is going to be your greatest tool. So what I heard you say is, you know, with clients that are a bit more in the over-functioning, more kind of conductory clients, that kind of vibe, yeah, you're right. Often they have a bit of resistance to even, you know, kind of entertaining the idea that they have self-doubt, usually because that's not something they identify with.
Yeah.
And so that's cool. And what I would also offer is sometimes that can also be a bit of an armor, right?
Well, that's like what I think is happening in this case.
Yeah. Like I get a lot of shit done, you know, and yet she has sought out the services of a self-belief coach who did not hide that that's what she does. So, you know, there's some part of her that is resonating with your work. And it sounds like, you know, the sessions went really well. And it's when you introduce this idea of the archetypes that about self-doubt that this kind of, you know, came up.
Well, actually, the one who I haven't given it to yet, I haven't even actually broached the subject. Like, as for all she knows, I don't have that and it's not a tool, that's an option. But I would like to introduce it because I do think, I feel like we're like on the surface, like where every session is not quite getting to the heart of things. And I really want to do that because, like, that's why we're here. Like, that's the whole point. So I really don't want to let us reach the end of the experience and to not have served her in the best way. But there, I have a fear that it will be met with resistance. I had a session recently where we didn't talk about self-doubt directly, but I was kind of trying to, I think part of the thing as well is like she identifies as very self-aware. Like she said that in the session, like, I'm very self-aware. Like I know this and I know this and I know that. And I was like, okay, like what else? Like what might you not be aware of? And it was just like awkward and difficult and she didn't respond well to that. So I got supervision tomorrow. So I'm going to like unpack that session. But I think I'm scared that that will maybe happen again, that like it won't be met with, like, because it comes from a good intention of like, I want to help you see what you might not be seeing. And like, because even if she doesn't use the label self-doubt, like there are behaviors that I know she is like, she doesn't want to continue with. She knows they're not helpful. Actually, is that true? Maybe she doesn't fully know that. But that's what I can see, I guess.
You know, I think you've got it, right? Like you're seeing that there may be some things that they wouldn't have come to coaching if they didn't want to change something. So I think maybe some questions around why are you here? What do you want from this? You know, that like naming that can be sometimes quite helpful, right? Helping the client to sort of, you know, not making assumptions that they're here for something. And just saying, you know, what does good look like at the end of all of this? Where are we going? And because I want you to walk away feeling like you've got as much out of this as you wanted, you know? And I think there's something about naming the dynamic that you're seeing, right? I notice when I mention self-doubt, you kind of...
Yeah, I really wanted to do that the other day. I really was like, I'm going to be brave and I'm going to say what I see. And I didn't, because I think I just felt like there was a lot of tension, like because of some other stuff in the session. And so it just didn't feel like appropriate, or like it just wasn't the right moment. But I feel like that is like my intuition knows that that's the right thing to just say, like, I know, even like I noticed that we're not maybe getting to the heart, or like we spend a lot of time talking about doing I guess what I'm worried about is that I'm like colluding with her. What would it be like? Critic, like whatever, the over martyr, even like I'm, because I can sense the need from her for me to give her things to do, and I'm like, but then I'll just be giving like the critic things to do, and I don't want to do that. But yeah, I think maybe, I guess she doesn't know this language, but I feel like that maybe there could be a world in which I try and have that conversation of like,
yeah,
I don't want to just feed the part of you that is already like really overworking. I don't know if that's even the right word, but
yeah,
I think maybe that is what the brave version of me would do next time.
Yeah, and you know, there's a balance here, right? Like, for our clients that are like over functioners, they often get a shit ton done. You know, they are the change agents, and we don't want to make them wrong.
Exactly. Yeah.
It's more like, how do they feel about that? Does it feel okay to your clients that that's what they're doing? And if there are things they want to change, you know, what does that look like for them in an ideal world? And I guess, you know, part of this is sometimes about just like holding the silence, like letting them have that pondering time.
Yeah, that's what I did this week though, and it was tough.
it can be, right? Yeah. And it may be, like you said, there's a bit of martyry stuff going on. It may be that, because this can happen a lot, and I think we, you know, it's our discernment to really figure out, is this mine or is this yours? When we are in a client's, enter into our client's world, and we, I think, you know, coaches have more empathy than the average bear, right? Just as a sort of default assumption. That means that our mirror neurons are pretty sensitive. We can kind of read a person. We kind of get a sense of what might be going on for the person. They may just need a wee, but they may in fact feel a little resistant to some homework, right? Yeah. And what I always try to do is go, is this mine? Like, am I feeling resistant to something, or am I mirroring what I see in the client? And if I'm mirroring what I see in the client, I try to name it.
Okay.
Right. Oh, that, it feels like you're a bit resistant to that. Am I wrong there?
Yeah.
You know, and then you start to get a bit more, a bit clearer, right? About what might be going on for them in that moment.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. Thank you. That is really helpful. It's tricky because I feel like the session that we had where this all started to sort of come to a head and I'm having these questions, she was particularly like depleted. Like she was not well resourced in that time, which is also why I didn't want to like press something. You know, it just wasn't the right time to sort of delve into some of these things. It was like she needed just to be held and to process some stuff, which I think I did help her with, but yeah.
And even that kind of assumption, right? We can say that, look, my sense is you're not like firing on all cylinders today. What would best support you?
Yeah. Yeah. Sorry to keep asking or answering all your questions with questions, but only because I did actually say, you know, what would best support you? And she was like, you know what? I can't make any more decisions. I can't be responsible for anything else. Like as in deciding how we use the session. And I was like, okay, that's fine. Like I get that. Yeah. But yeah, it was tough. I think it's just like, it's a tough session compared to.
Yeah, sounds like it.
I've gone, so I need to just like process that. But yeah, that all makes a lot of sense. And I think I like the idea of like checking, is this mine or am I mirroring?
Yeah. And sometimes even one of the really great writers about supervision, Robin Shuey, he's ace. He even says, you know, he'll start sessions just saying, oh, I'm feeling really irritated. Because he's just naming everything that he's mirroring from the client. It's so, like, it makes me kind of cringe when I look at the transcript of some of his sessions, because he's just naming stuff that, without a filter. I think it's incredibly brave to do that when you've got a client who's willing to go there. But when we're just starting out with a client, we don't really know what they make of stuff, you know?
Yeah.
So I always try to name what my experience is and check in to see, is this also what's happening with a client? And if I just sense some tension, I'm not really sure what it's about, or I think it's coming from something to do with the client, I might say something like, oh, I'm feeling some tension. Are you feeling that? What do we think that's about? You know, it's almost like we're partnering together to figure out what is coming up. And the client may go, oh, this is weird. Normal people don't speak like this. Yeah. We don't name this stuff. We just move on. Mm-hmm. And it's like, you know, this is not a normal chit chat. This is coaching.
Yeah.
We're talking about your experience and of yourself, of the world. So sometimes it's going to feel a little bit awkward, but that's okay. We can do awkward.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, that's very good advice. Thank you very much.
Yeah, you're so welcome. Sounds fun.
Yeah, I feel like it's a definite, like, it's a growth moment. Like, I think it felt awful in the moment, but I'm already, like, with distance, I'm like, okay, I kind of know how to make sense of at least some parts of this, and I'm, going to go through it a little bit more tomorrow, but I think I'm going to look back on this and be like, okay, I understand why that happened. I'm like, I hope, I'm intrigued to talk to this client again in a couple of weeks, because it'll be interesting to, like, see what she made of that. Like, cause obviously all of this is in my head, so it's like, what did she actually experience?
I really do think that if there's something going on, a dynamic that you can't really put your finger on, the best thing to do is name it and see what the client makes of it as well. And if neither of you know, it's like, oh, okay, well, let's just let that be here, we'll move on. You know, and then, you know, you can take it to supervision and sort of unpack it in a bit more detail. But your original question was about, you know, how to introduce the archetypes. And you can just even say to this client, if you think it's going to really help them, like, hey, I've been thinking about you and I forgot to do this in our session, but if it feels good to you, here's the archetypes. Feel free to play.
Yeah, I think, I mean, I feel like there's definitely a big part of her that would be keen and would be interested, and, you know, she likes learning about herself. Like, she definitely, she's not going to, like, be like, what are you doing? No. Like, she'll be open to it, I think. But I'm just, I just need to just, like, prepare so that I don't, like, fluff my words, I guess, in the moment and make it sound weird. But yeah, I think I can do that. Like, I think I'll regret it if I don't. Like, if I let it get to the end and then we haven't done it, it's like, I think that was a shame. Like, I think it could be such a useful tool. So yeah, I'll see.
It's a good sign that you feel like this would help you.
Yeah, exactly. So yeah, I'll be able to report back anyway on the one that I sent it to yesterday. So see what happens. But yeah, I think it's super useful. So hopefully we'll get some insights from it.
Yeah. Does that feel kind of complete for you? So
yes, it does. Thank you very much. I also have to dash because I've got to go and punch the air at the gym. So
go do that. All right, my love.
Yeah, thank you so much for your help. Okay. It was nice to see you.
Yeah, you too. You too. Bye. All right, loves. Thanks, everyone. Bye. See you. Bye.